The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Lamed Dalid. Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Terichanu B'Gan Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fuat Shelema. Yosef Ben Sarah, Rahamim Ben Adel, Sarah Bat Rachel. Inna Refarelem B'toch Shear Chulei Amo Yisrael. Amen. Rabbi Shimoni De'amar She'ita She'ena Le'uya. Lo Shemesh She'ita. Good. Rabbi Shimon has a Shita. Rabbi Shimon's Shita is that a She'ita that is not a She'ita that's Le'uya, which is a She'ita that's not matir the animal to eat, is not considered a She'ita. Which means like this. Let's take a case that we had now. Guy slaughtered the animal L'shem Avodah Zarah. When you slaughter an animal L'shem Avodah Zarah, so therefore the animal is not mutar to eat. And therefore that shechita is not considered a shechita. Therefore, what was the case in the Braita? The guy stole an animal, right? And he slaughtered it L'shem Avodah Zarah. The reason why Hakamim say you don't pay 4 or 5, he didn't slaughter L'shem Avodah Zarah, somebody else did. So we had a question, so there's no kim nimid rabami there. He stole it, somebody else slaughtered it for Avodah Zarah, but it's accredited to him, he should pay the 4 or 5. Gemara's answer, that's not considered a shechita. Because a shechita that's not ri'uya, a shechita that's not matir the animal, la akhira, is not considered a shechita. So it's not considered tabach, it's not considered that you slaughtered it. Therefore you only have to pay 2, you don't pay 4 or 5. So the Gemara says, "Hatinah avodat kuchavim v'shor neskal." That's a good answer for 2 out of the 3 cases. For the case of avodat kuchavim, or the case of shor neskal, which means the law is if somebody slaughtered shor neskal, the meat is considered nevela. Even though the shechita was perfect, you can't eat it. However, ela shechita Shabbat shechita reuyahi. But if a person slaughters on Shabbat, that's considered a legal shaita, meaning to eat. Legal. How do you know that? Ditnan, because you have a Mishnah. Hashochet b'Shabbatim Yom Kippurim. Let's say a person slaughters on Shabbat or Yom Kippurim. Afapish mitchayev b'nafsho, even though you hayav mitah, but on Shabbat it's a keila, on Kippur it's karet. Shaitato kishera. The shaita is still kishera. So the Gemara says, therefore, kot rabbanan, why shouldn't it be hayav 4 or 5 in the case of where the guy slaughtered it on Shabbat? Where the other guy slaughtered it on Shabbat? Because bottom line, shaita re'uya. Gemara answers, sabala, k'nebi Yohanan Sadlar. Rabbis hold like k'nebi Yohanan Sadlar. What does the Yohanan Sadlar say? The Tanya, we have a bright, the Mebashir, b'Shabbat. Famous mahlokin. Guy cooks on Shabbat. Say, b'shogeg yochal. If he only did it b'shogeg, so that is ready, he himself is allowed to eat the meat, even on that day. Bimizid lo yochal. Oh, however, if he did it bimizid on purpose, lo yochal. He not allowed to eat it. As she says, bishogeg yochal lafinu bo bayom, even on that day. Bimizid lo yochal hu le'olam aval acharim yisraelim ochlim. But others can eat on that day. Devei Rabbi Meir. So you got Rabbi Meir shita. Shogeg, he himself can eat it. Mizid, he himself never. But others, yes, immediately. Rabbi Yehuda omer, bishogeg yochal lemotzei Shabbat. So the Biuda downgrades. He says, no, Bishogeg, the guy himself can only eat it on Motzei Shabbat. Bimizid lo yochal olamit. But Bimizid, the guy himself, cannot eat it forever. Rashi. The Biuda omer, Bishogeg yochal, hu le Motzei Shabbat. Velo bo bayom, tekatzinot shogeg atu mezid. Because he makes a gezerah shogeg atu mezid. Bimizid lo yochal, hu olamit. He cannot eat forever, bimizid. However, acherim will be permissible on Motzei Shabbat. That's shitat Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yohanan HaSadlar omer, b'shogeg yochal b'motzei Shabbat la'acherim ve'lo lo. B'mizid lo yochal olamit lo lo ve'lo la'acherim. Rabbi Yohanan HaSadlar is the most mahmir. He says b'shogeg is only permissible on Motzei Shabbat la'acherim. And mezid is asur afilu once a Shabbat afilu nahirim. So it's asur to everybody. So therefore, the banan holds like Rabbi Yohanan HaSadlan, that shechita of Shabbat is not considered shechita ruya, at least for the person himself.
Anybody.
And therefore, that's the case. Guy went and stole an animal, right? And this other guy slaughtered it. So therefore, what do you see over here? That shechita is not considered a shechita ruya, and therefore the rabbis are going to say, patur, you don't pay. So the Gemara says, "My tamad Rabbi Yohanan Sadlan. What's the logic of Rabbi Yohanan Sadlan? Kedarish the bichaya afetchad the benesia. Like the bichaya was doresh at the gate of the benesia. Ushmartem et the Shabbat ki kodesh ilachem. Right? The Torah says you should keep the Shabbat because the Shabbat is considered kodesh. So the Gemara doresh ma kodesh asur ba'achila. Just like something that's kodesh. For example, a korban. It's forbidden for a non-kohen to eat it. Kodesh asur ba'achila. Af ma'ase Shabbat asurim ba'achila." So to ma'asis, something that was done on Shabbat is also asur b'achila, which means ki kodesh, Shabbat is kodesh. Just like kodesh asur b'achila to a non-kohen, so to the ma'asir, Shabbat also becomes asur b'achila. Ima kodesh asur b'hana'a, af ma'asir Shabbat asur b'hana'a. That's why you want to go. Just like hikdash is asur to b'hana'a, you can't sell it. Are you going to tell me that ma'asir Shabbat, this animal, let's say that was slaughtered, are you going to go somewhere and say you can't even sell it to a goy? Tamud amal lachim. What do we learn from there? Oh, so the Gemara goes further. How far you want to go? Are you going to tell me even b'shogeg? Because if Yohanan HaSadlan says b'shogeg, while it's asur lo even on Motzei Shabbat, but it'll be permissible tahrim. So how far you want to go? So the Gemara says tamud domar mehalelea motyumat. Oh, which means like this: from the Torah law. Let's go slow. From the Torah law. The Torah says this pasuk in the context of mehalelea motyumat. That's in the case of mezid. Bemezid amati lecha velo b'shogeg. Which means bina Torah really, the only isur is bemezid. Ma'aseh Shabbat. Really b'shogeg ma'aseh Shabbat is mutar. But the Yohanan HaSadlan is gozer on the shogegs atu the mezid. But bina Torah, shogeg is mutar and mezid. And so the Yohanan HaSadlan makes the gizerot. Good? No, b'shogeg laws asur forever. Right. It's only mutar le'achirim, and mezid is asur ben lo ben acharim forever. Now, pedigi bara v'chav ravina, had amar ma'aseh Shabbat deoraita. One opinion says that ma'aseh Shabbat is isur deoraita, like we just quoted the pasuk. V'had amar drabanan, and some say no, ma'aseh Shabbat is only asur v'drabanan. Ma dama deoraita kedamran. Well, we just quoted the pasuk. Right, ki kodesh ilachem. Man da'amad rabbanan amar kera kodesh hi. They learn from the pasuk this. The Shabbat is kodesh. He kodesh ve'en ma'aseh kodesh. Which is only the Shabbat is kodesh, but the actions that are done on Shabbat are not kodesh. Meaning the shaitan Shabbat is not a sun, even a mezid. Elad rabbanan came along and made a gezerah. Ulman da'amad rabbanan. Oh, but according to the one that says it's rabbanan, which means ma'aseh Shabbat is going to be permissible. Min Torah, so we're back to the question now. My tamay drabanan de patre. Why are the rabbis poter? Which means the other guy slaughtered it. It's considered min Torah shechita reuya. Therefore, you should pay 4 and 5. Why do the rabbis say you don't pay? Kika pati drabanan ashara. Which means you're right. The rabbis were only poter on the case of avodah zarah and children iskal. But in the kenabi on the Shabbat case, they'll be chayav. Because Avodah Zarah is considered Shechita Shel Ereuya. Shoran Iskal is Shechita Shel Ereuya. Mashiach is Shechita Shabbat. According to the opinion that says from the Torah, Ma'aseh Shabbat is Mutar. In the Chinam is considered Shechita, therefore they have to pay. So Ash'ara, they only said their law on the other cases. Comes again what it says, Toveyach La'avodat Kochavim. In the case of Toveyach La'avodat Kochavim. Right, the guy slaughtered it for the Avodah Zarah. Kevan Deshachat Bepurta Itzar Le Idach. Again, kevan deshachat bepurta etzar le idach ki katabach lav demare katabach. I'm asking a question like this: the guy slaughtered the animals l'shem avodah zarah, but what happens? Let's discuss the mechanics of it. The second he puts the knife to the animal l'shem avodah zarah, the animal already, before even the shechita is finished, the animal becomes a sur b'hana'a. When he consummates, when he finishes the shechita, he's not slaughtering the owner's animal anymore, because like I said, the owner's animal, it's asur b'hana'ah. So I could just be hayab in such a case. Which means, according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir said, in that case, you hayab 4 and 5. Where somebody else slaughtered it, l'shem avodah zarah, his actions are credited to the person himself, and he holds what? That even though there's no mitah in this case over here, so therefore he holds what? He's going to have to pay 4 and 5. The Gemara said, wait, how is he going to have to pay 4 and 5? Bottom line, when the guy puts the knife to the animal before the shaita is even done, already becomes asur b'hana'ah immediately. So when he finishes the shaita, it's not considered shaita on the owner's property. So let's read that inside the question. Toveyah la'avodat kuchavim, the case of toveyah la'avodat kuchavim, kevan deshachat bepurta, once already start to slaughter part of it, it's ar, it already becomes asur. Idach ki katabach, the rest of the animal that when he slaughtered is lav demare katabach. So Amar Rava beomer bigmar zviha hu ovda. So you have to say the case about like this. He stipulates before he slaughters the animal, I don't want the avodah zarah, I don't want to serve it the shem avodah zarah until the end of the shaita. So he's obviously standing in front of an avodah zarah, say, right? He's slaughtering this animal the shem avodah zarah. He says, when do I want the service of the avodah zarah to be hal? Bigmar shaita. So therefore, until that point, it's all he's slaughtering the owner's animal. That's what's going to be hayav. Comes the Gemara and says, wait, shodan niskal lav dideu de katabah. Let's go slow. Shodan niskal, that's a shod that kills somebody. The law is once a shod kills somebody, you kill it. Shodan niskal. So now the other guy's slaughtering it, it's not his, it's a subhanah. It doesn't belong to the owner. So how could you tell me you slaughter it according to Rabbi Meir, you pay 4 and 5? I mean, you didn't slaughter the owner's animal. Amar Rava, hakabi may askinan. Talk about a specific case. Kegon shemasro leshomer vezik bebet shomer v'nigmar dina bebet shomer v'ganvu ganab bebet shomer. Okay, let's get the case good. The case is talking about over here, a guy gave a watchman, watch my shor. When it was in the watchman's possession, it killed somebody. When it was in the watchman's possession, it was taken to Beit Din, this shor. And it was Nigmar Din, they passed judgment on the animal, Hayav. And then what happened? It got stolen from the Bet Shomer. It got stolen from the Shomer's house. Before they executed it, some guy stole the animal. And then subsequently, slaughtered it. Now let's go slow. V'Rabbi Meir Sabala K'Rabbi Yaakov V'Sabala K'Rabbi Shimon. Which means Rabbi Meir holds like two opinions. He holds like Rabbi Yaakov and he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Sabala K'Rabbi Yaakov, that what? The Amar. Af Mishnig Mardino Yachziro Shomer Leba'alav Muhzar. V'Sabala K'Rabbi Shimon the Amar Tabara Golem Lemamon K'Mamon Dameh. Let's get the two shitot over here. Let's discuss Rabbi Yaakov first. Rabbi Yaakov was like this. In this case of the Shomer, before the animal was sentenced or put to death, halakha according to Rabbi Yaakov, you can return the animal to the owner. Even though right now, it can't do anything with it, doesn't matter. As long as the animal is still alive, you can say, listen, I borrowed a... Well, you gave me a short to watch, I'm giving it to you back. As long as it's ba'ayin, Rabbi Yaakov says you can give it back. That's the first halakha. That what? Let's read Rabbi Yaakov inside. Af mishinigmar dino he'aziro shomer leba'alav muhzar. Right? That as long as it's still alive, you can give it back. Even though there's a gmar din on it. Second, she tells Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon holds of a halakha that says davar gorem lemamon. What does that mean? An item that in itself has no value, but can cause money. It causes a monetary situation. It's considered like mamon. Like this. The guy stole the shor, and he slaughtered it. That's considered you slaughtered the owner's shor. Why? Even though it's not mamon. Because by stealing the shor now, you're causing the shomer to have to pay. Because the shomer could only pay back if the animal's alive. But if the animal's not alive, he has to pay back now money. So you stole an item that's gorem lemamon, that will cause somebody else to pay. So we have a rule. Davara gorem lemamon kemamon. And therefore, as if you slaughtered the owner's animal. And therefore, the law is going to be a shor and a skal is considered davar gorem lemamon, and therefore, it's kemamon damen. Now, let's read this in Rashi to understand the case clearer. Let's read Rashi. No, it's not worthless. It's gorem lemamon. Look at Rashi. Kemamon damen. Vehainame. Afagav de lo shave midi. Even though it's not worth anything. Gorem lemamonu. Dechileta, because now that it's not around, ba'el lishkumi le'torah me'alya, he's going to have to pay a regular shor. Now he gives you the source. Rabbi Shimon ben Baba Kama beperek menuba kadashim shaya bahariyuta. Let's say a guy is a korban, and it's a type of korban that he has to replace. Right? If he loses it, he has to replace it. Mishalem arba'a b'chamisha mishum degorem lemamonu v'afagav dekdesh lat mamon ba'alimu ubekdesh shoshah knas v're'ehu ketiv. Which means like this: guy stole a korban from his friend and he slaughters it. Yeah, I have to pay 4 or 5. What do you mean? It's ekdesh. Since he's chayav b'chari yutan, you're causing this guy to replace it. Gorem lemamon, it's kemamon dameh. So the same thing over here, which means you have to hold 2 shitote. You have to say, according to Yaakov, that you have to, if you had the item itself, you can return the item itself. Because if you didn't hold like that, if it was always a monetary payment, so it doesn't matter whether he stole it or not, he has to pay money. Yeah. But since he could have gotten away by paying the short itself, when you stole it, now you're causing him to have to come up with the money. So therefore it's considered the owner, and therefore going to be Hayav. Quran continues, which means like this. Till now, we established the braita above on the case of ganav b'shabbat v'tavach. We wanted to say it's going on ibadah Rabbi Meir, and the case was talking about that he stole it, somebody else slaughtered it. Therefore, the guy himself is not chayav mitah the ganav. Therefore, he has to pay 4 and 5 because Rabbi Meir, while he holds yel lokeu mishalem, but he doesn't hold metu mishalem. In that case, he only will say that if it's met mishalem, he only gets mitah. Oh, so in this case over here, how come he has to pay then? Because you say there was no mitah in the ganav because somebody else slaughtered it on Shabbat. That's how we answer the bright alima to Rabbi Meir. Now, Rabbah is going to give a different answer. The case is talking about the guy himself slaughtered it on Shabbat. Oh, so now the question is, there's mitah and there's mishalem. V'Rabbi Meir lokeu mishalem itle metu mishalem letle. Oh, and Rabbi Meir holds, yes, when it comes to lokeu mishalem, yes, lokeu mishalem. But he says when it comes to metu mishalem, you don't do mitah mishalem. So then the question is, why in this case then it's metu mishalem? In this case over here, there's a mitah on the guy for Shabbat, and the Rabbi Meir said in the bride, you also have to pay. I thought you only in metu mishalem. This case is different. V'shaniyan dechidushu shaycha Torah biknas afalgav de miktal mishalem hidush. You're right. In all cases, eno metu mishalem. That's talking about when the payment is a money, is a compensation, is a monetary payment. However, this is a knas payment. Knas, by nature, is a chidush. Why do I have to pay 4 and 5? I stole one animal. The whole fact that I got to pay 4 times or 5 times is a chidush. Once already, the Torah gave me a chidush in the payment, even if it's mitah, you'll do mitah mishalem. Which is bechol haTorah kula, eno metu mishalem. Except what? In knas cases. Why? Because the whole deen of a knas is a chidush. Us is told me this is a chidush. I'm going to say what? Yeah, met umeshalem. Good. So comes the Gemara and says, the azda Rabba letame. Rabba is following his reasoning. The Amar Rabba. Now Rabba gives an interesting case. Haya gedi ganuvlo. Let me speak out the mechanics of what we're going to discuss now for the next few lines, so it'll go smoother. Basically, we're going to give 2 different scenarios. Torah says a guy steals something. By the way, I have to pay back. So I have to pay exactly 2 from the Torah. I give it. If he subsequently goes and slaughters it, 4 or 5, depending if it was a short or a sin. Good. Let's say you have a case, a guy stole, hypothetically, on a Tuesday. At that point over there, he's chayav to pay back. Now when you're paying back, that's mamun already. Plus you stole, you gotta pay back. That's not a knas, that's you paying back what you stole. Good. Let's say the guy, he stole on a Tuesday, and then he went on Shabbat itself, and he slaughtered. So now the knas is hitting at a time when mitah is hitting at the same time. Right, because you have chayav mitah and the slaughtering on Shabbat. In that case over there, you're gonna pay. You're gonna pay the 4 or 5. Why? Because since the monetary came already on Tuesday, so already you have to pay, let's say, right, that money, the actual principal. The mitah and the knas came together. What did we just say about knas? Knas is a chidush. And since knas is a chidush, even though there's mitah, yeh mishalim. That's case number one. Let's give case number two. Let's say the guy did everything on Shabbat. He stole it on Shabbat, and he slaughtered it on Shabbat. So there, all the payments are coming. The actual keren payment, the actual principal payment, is also coming at the time of mitah. And that's considered mamon already. And we have a rule, en omet o mishalem. So therefore you cannot get him for the principal payment. You can't get him for the geneva because the geneva came at mitah. Once you can't get him for the geneva, you don't get him for the knas. Because the Torah said, what's the knas? Either 4 or 5. If you're going to take away the geneva, it turns out to be 3 or 4. Again, there's no such thing in the Torah, 3 or 4. So therefore, when the knas is already following a geneva that was done during the week, so since the geneva already, you hayav to pay, and then let's say the knas came at sha'at mitah, since knas is a chidush, I'm going to tell you what, metu mishalem, pay the 4 or 5. But if everything took place on Shabbat, once you're not paying already for the geneva, because you already have mitah, you don't pay for the knas either. Because take away the geneva, so what do you have left? Instead of 4 or 5, now you're taking away 2 from the geneva, what do you have left? 3 or 4. The Torah never said, Dishlosha v'arba. The Torah said, Arba v'chamisha. Good? Correct. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, which means like this, when I'm saying 3 or 4, take away the 1 from the geneva. Take away the 1 from the geneva. Don't take the kefir. 1. Instead of 4 or 5, because you're not paying the 1, because it was mitah. That's a compensation. That's not a knas. So so take away the 1. So instead of a 4 or 5, it's turning into 3 or 4. The Torah never said 3 or 4. So look at the cases now. Let's say a gedi was stolen already from before Shabbat. Stolen on Tuesday. Utpacho b'Shabbat. Right? And he slaughtered it on Shabbat. Hayav. He has to pay 4 and 5. Why? Shekevan et hayev b'gineva konu sheyavol yedi yisu Shabbat. Because somebody was hayav the geneva before the Yisus Shabbat came. Ganav betamach b'Shabbat, but if you stole it on Shabbat itself, patur. Shim en geneva, because once already you're getting rid of the geneva, en tevihah ve'en mechira. You can't get him on the tevihah and mechira alone, because, like I said, arba'ah v'chamisha marachmanah v'lo shloshah v'arba'ah. Ve'amar Rava. Rava said another case. Hayah gedi ganuvlo. Let's say a gedi was stolen from before Shabbat. Utpacho b'machteret. Right, let me give you the case of machteret. Machteret is when a guy goes, let's say, in hiding. Don't say hiding. A guy goes to somebody's house. Okay, guy goes to somebody's house to steal. Right? Hiding underneath the guy's house in a tunnel, whatever, is to steal something. At that point, the guy who's in the machteret is hayah mitah. What does it mean, hayah mitah? If the owner of the house sees the thief in his house stealing, he's allowed to kill him on the spot. The logic is because this guy's considered a rodif, because he's going to try to protect his life. He's going to try to kill the balabayit. So the balabayit's able to protect himself by killing the ganav. That's im b'machteret yimatzana ganav. That's the case. So let's say a case like this. Let's speak it outside first. It's a similar case of the Shabbat. Just instead of the Shabbat hayu mita, let's plug in the machteret hayam mita. He stole the animal on Tuesday. Okay? By the way, it's hayav to pay. Compensation. That's mamun. Then he went back into the guy's house, into the machteret, and he did the tibiha. At the time of the tibiha, it was hayav mita. But what? He'll pay the 4 and 5. Because why? Since bottom line, he owed already the mamun from before, from Tuesday, already owed the geneva, and now we say knas is a chidush, and therefore yometu mishalem when it comes to knas, he'll pay the 4 and 5. But let's say he stole it and slaughtered it in the machteret, since you're not going to be hayav for the gereva, because you're not going to be hayav for the gereva, because eno metu mishalem, so we're not hayav either for the gereva and the, I mean for the tibihah and the mechira. Same case. It just plug in, instead of for the isur of Shabbat, plug in machteret. Now let's read it inside. Namar haba. Haya gidi ganuv lo vetpacho bemachteret, hayav. Shekemad it hayav begereva, kodem sheyavad in the isur machteret. Ganav vetavah bemachteret, patur shim en gereva, en tibihah ve en mechira. Now the Gemara's question is like this. Vesiricha. What do you need both cases for? Which is, what do I need a case of Mita of Shabbat or Mita of Machteret? Basically, it's the same mechanics, same rule. So Gemara says, De'i ashmi'inan Shabbat mishum de'isura isur olam. I tell you, know why? When the guy slaughters on Shabbat, steals and slaughters on Shabbat, I say, you know why he's patur? Because Shabbat is isur olam. Which means, once the guy was mehalel Shabbat, he's hayav on that isur Shabbat forever. The mashal. A year later, the witnesses come along and say, we saw that guy being mehalel Shabbat. It's chayav. The chayuv mita on the guy is forever, never goes away. And then I'll say that what? Such a chayuv mita overrides the mamon. Aval machteret di isur sha'ahu emalo. But machteret is only isur sha'ah, which means only when he's in the machteret. Once he leaves. So I might have said that maybe when you're in machteret, maybe it doesn't override the mamon. Kamashman it does. V'i yashmein ha-machteret mishum de machtarto zui atra'ato. Which means when a guy goes to machteret, he doesn't need a hatra'ah. Once he goes to machteret, his life already is free to kill. You don't need a hatra'ah. So I would say in that case over there, since you don't need a hatra'ah, you can kill him. Then it's overrides the mamon. Aval Shabbat de ba'inan hatra'ah emalo. But Shabbat, I might think, what, since you need hatra'ah, you didn't get a hatra'ah, I might think that it doesn't override Siricha. It does. Amar papa. Similar case. Haita para genuvalo. A guy has a para, a cow. Till now we're talking about a gedi, a goat. Let's move to a cow now. Genuvalo, v'tavcha b'Shabbat. He did everything on Shabbat. I'm sorry. Genuvalo from before Shabbat. Tuesday. Stolen. And then what, he slaughtered on Shabbat? Hayav shekevaret hayav b'geneva kodem shevaret d'usho Shabbat. Hayta para she'ula lo. New case. He borrowed a cow. Now let's discuss the law of a borrower for a second. A law of a borrower, he has full liability. No matter what happens, the borrower is always responsible. Even if an onus happened, even if, let's say, he got struck by lightning, doesn't matter. The borrower is always guilty. So now what happened? He borrowed a cow from his friend. V'tabcha b'Shabbat. Now he went and he slaughtered on Shabbat, patur. Now, the logic we understand is why. Because at the time of the slaughtering, that's when he became a thief. And therefore what? He's hayav mita as well. So therefore, since he's not hayav for the gereva, he's not hayav for the other things. So the Gemara says, Abba v'chaber ed rabba l'rav Asher, rabbapa parata l'shmeinan? What a papa? Already we have the case of gedi. So what? You're giving me a hadush now in para, which is the gedi and a para. It's the same case. Abba l'rabbapa she'ula ata l'shmeinan. No. The hadush is in the borrowing case. What's the hadush? Salka datar kamina o'il v'amara papa. Since the papa says, Mish'at mishicha hu de'et hayev le'bimizonotea. When is a person who's borrowing hayav to feed the animal? From the moment he pulls the animal, he's moshech the animal, at that point he's hayav b'mizonotea. Ha'chanamim mish'at she'la et hayev be'onseh. I might think what? At that time that he makes the mishicha, he's hayav already on onsim. Which means maybe I'll tell you at that point over there, we already chayav on geneva and things like that. Anything that happens to the animal, on simitim, if something happens to the animal, kamash malan. No, now let's understand what that means. Let's read Rashi. Look at Rashi. She'ela atala shmeinan, all the way down. V'tubcha b'Shabbat patur. The hadush is that when you slaughter the animal that you borrowed on Shabbat, you'll be patur. Sal katatach amina u'id v'amar papa b'sochet ha'po'alim. That what? That from the time that you take the animal, that's when already you have to feed it. That's already when it becomes yours. You're responsible, let's say it that way. Hachan namin nima mish'at she'ela. From the time that you borrow it, ram ya'aleh hayuf kered. Maybe I'll tell you your obligation to pay back the shor is already from the time that you took it, which is not like this. Your canon payment already is hal the second you took it. So I'm hayav canon. So therefore, when I slaughtered on Shabbat, it's only a knas. So therefore, maybe I would pay 4 and 5. The canon I was obligated when I took it. So canon already I'm obligated to pay back the principal. And therefore, what? To be ha on Shabbat, that's a hiddush. And the hiddush is what? I say that you hayav mita and you mishalim. So maybe I'll pay 4 and 5. Kama shmalan, no. That even though I was moshechet, the canon payment is not on me until I actually slaughter it. And therefore, the time of the slaughtering,
it's patur.
Patur, because bottom line is mita. Good. Comes again on further. Amar Abba. New case. Hiniyach lehem avihim parash she'ula. You have a case like this. Father had an animal. The father was alive. He borrowed the animal from somebody. The father died. He left his children this animal that was borrowed. Mishtamshim ba kol yemei she'elata. They're able to continue to use the animal the entire time. Which means, let's say the lease was 30 days, they can use it for the whole time. Meta. Oh, now let's say it dies. En hayavim be'onsa. They're not obligated be'onsin. Now normally, the father, if it died in the father's possession, he'd be hayav be'onsin. But she'ekin, the children, they're not hayav to pay. Rashi, de'inu lav shu'alininu ala. They didn't borrow. They're not the borrowers. The father was the borrower. So therefore, the guy can't come along and say, hey, onsi, you didn't borrow from me, you borrowed from my father. Smith the patur from onsi. Now, kasbunin shel avihani. Now let's say another case. Let's say they thought that it was their father's. They didn't know it was borrowed. They thought it belonged to the father. V'tavchua v'achlua. So they went and they slaughtered the animal and they ended up eating it. Mishalmim deme basar bezol. They have to pay back, but they only have to pay back the amount of hana'ah that they had from eating the animal. How do you calculate the amount of hana'ah that they ate the animal? Which means like this. These guys, they thought it was their father's. In the end of the day, it wasn't theirs. We're not going to make them pay back the whole animal. Because bottom line, they thought it was their father's. They weren't the ones that borrowed it. So we're not going to make them pay back the full animal. Bottom line, you have to make them pay back something. They did have an aunt, so probably that's not theirs. So how do you calculate this? These guys, they might not have gone on to the marketplace to go buy meat. Meat is expensive. But you know what? If these guys would have gotten a discount, right? Uh-huh. If let's say you would tell them, listen, the meat is, you'll only have to pay 2/3 of what the cost is. So these guys might have gone out and they'll spend that money, right? To go buy meat. So your hana'ah over here was the 2/3. So the hadush is what? You could make them pay back deme basar bezovish. Let's say basar costs 6, you make them pay back 4. Right? Let's say it's one zuz is 6 donkey, that she says. So instead of paying 6 donkey, make it pay 4 donkey. Yeah? Deme basar bezol. That's the deen of the bright. And there's one more deen. And of course the skin you have to return back. The skin of the cow itself, they have to return back to the owner. So there's two things. They have to pay deme basar bezol, cheap price to pay for the meat, and they also have to pay back the skins. Okay. Right, that she explains the blah blah blah. You don't make them pay the whole amount, because if they would have known that they had to pay the whole amount, they wouldn't have eaten it in the first place, because they don't want to pay back the whole amount. But it would be worth it to them to eat it to, if they don't have to pay back only a small amount. You can't consider them mazikim because they didn't know it was they borrowed. So they don't have to pay back the demehana. Good. Good. Comes in, right, and finishes off and says, "Hiniyach lehem avihem achrayut nechasim." But let's say the father left them achrayut nechasim, which literally means to say a field. The field was pledged, let's say, towards a loan of some sort. Hayavim l'shalem. They have to pay. Now this last part of the Braita, the Gemara is going to discuss what it's talking about. Ika demati la aresha, ika demati la asefa. Some learn that last part of the Braita when it comes to the field that was pledged. Some learn it's going on the resha, some say it's going on the sefa. What was the resha? The resha was the case where, let's say, they inherited their father's cow. Right, they knew it was loaned, and therefore the law was what? If it dies, they're off the hook. But the Braita is concluding and saying, unless the field was pledged. If, let's say, when the father borrowed the cow, he told him, listen, the guy who was lending it to him told him, if something happens to the cow, I'm taking money from the field. So the Hadush is what? In that case over there, they're going to have to give back the value. Only when there was no field that was pledged. But if there was a field that was pledged at the time of the loan of the father, then if the animal dies, they have to pay back. Because already there was a chov on the field originally. That's she. Ika demati aresha. Lehayin ya'lem avim achrayut nechasim hayavim neshalem. Ve'amrina dehayavim be'onsin. Deshta'abud nechasim dabon mechayim mishat she'ela. Already since the field was already pledged at the time of the father, and they inherited that field, they inherited the pledge as well, therefore they have to pay the money back. And some say, some say, no, the field situation is going on the sefa. What was the sefa? If, let's say, they didn't know it was loaned, they thought it belonged to their father, they ate it. So then the deen is, we said, well, they only have to pay back cheap meat. But if there was a 100%. If there was a field that was there already, where they said, if you don't pay back, the guy told them, you're going to have to pay me back from the field, put a chov on the field, then already he had to have to pay back full price. So the Gemara says, now what's the logic in that? What's the logic why they would have to pay back? So the Mefashim explained over here, Ki ayalem libdok shel mi hapara lefnei shetafchu. They should have investigated. They should have investigated to whom the animal belongs to. That's the way that she wants to learn. Okay. Now, comes the Gemara and says, Ma demati la aresha. The one that learns the field case under the resha, kol sheken asefa. All the more so, kol sheken will hold it in the sefa. What's the sefa case? Rashi, kol sheken asefa, kishtafu v'achlu, ufliga dera papa. And you have to sit there arguing on the papa's rule. What's the papa's rule? Rashi, damal elai shata dematu lehu onsinu deati hiyuba ale. We just learned the papa. The papa said what? When is the obligation to pay back come in a case of borrowing? It comes back at the time of the onus. It comes at the time of the, for example, the slaughtering of the animal. The hayuf to pay back does not hal at the time of the actual borrowing. Right? At the time of the mishika. So therefore, we're going to say like this. If you're going to say that what? According to this opinion, it's mashma that the hayuv comes at the time of the borrowing. Because what are we saying over here? In the case of the field, what happened? The father borrowed. At that point over there, at the time that he borrowed it, he pledged his field for a payment if he doesn't pay back. And you're saying what? When did the onus take place? The onus didn't take place till later on when the kids had it, the animal died. Doesn't matter. Since the chayuv already is hal at the time of the giving over, so therefore, the mihayav. So, because if you hold like the papa, he'll say, listen, we're not obligated until this point, when the animal died. Once the animal died, the pledge was, there was no pledge at this point over here. The pledge was done before. But we're not chayav till this point. This point of it, my father's not alive. But if you say against the papa, that already the chayuv to pay back is at the time of the giving over, so therefore they're going to be chayav. Nashi. Vahainu dra papa. I'm sorry. Fliga dra papa. Next line of the Gemara. Uman de matila asefa. But the opinion that just learns this case on the sefa. Aval aresha lo. But does not learn on the resha. Vahainu dra papa. Very good. Because according to the papa, he's not going to have to pay back. Because since at the time of the loan of the cow, There was no chayuf to pay back at that time. The chayuf of Onsin is not hal. Therefore, when he pledged the field, it doesn't affect the children. The only chayuf is hal when the animal died. When the animal died already, it was in the children's property already. And therefore, there was they don't have to go back to the field of the father because he's not around anymore. And therefore, if you say it's going only on the sefa, but not going on the resha, that's going like rapapa. Go back to the beginning of the sugya. We go back to the beginning of the sugya. We had a stira between Masechet Ketubot and Masechet Makot. Masechet Ketubot said what? Guy goes with his daughter, a guy goes with his sister, Mishalim. Okay? Masechet Ketubot says he goes with his sister, Loke. So we had different ways of answering the Braitot. One way was Rabbi Yohanan. How did Rabbi Yohanan answer? Our Mishnah is talking lo hitrubo, where they did not warn him for Malkut. So since they didn't warn him for the Malkut, he only pays money. Masechet Makot was talking about we hitrubo, and therefore loke umishalem. Right? That was Rabbi Yohanan's answer. We just learned on the daf that what Rish Lakish gave a different answer. Rish Lakish said no. Our Mishnah that said an honest pays is going Alibad Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir is the opinion that says, Loke o Mishalem, meaning I'll tell you the kids, but they warned them. And when our Mishnah says Mishalem, it means what? Not only Mishalem, but also Loke o Mishalem, Alibad Rabbi Meir. Again, let's get the answers. Rabbi Yohanan learned the cases talking about Lo Etrubo, and therefore you only pay because there was no Atra'ah. According to the Rish Lakish, we're saying the case is even Atra'ah, and it's Alibad Rabbi Meir, which means, according to, this is Lokeo Mishalim. That was the Rish Lakish. Okay. Lokeo Mishalim. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Rabbi Yohanan lo amar ki Rish Lakish dekamokim la kerabanan. Right. I understand why Rabbi Yohanan doesn't want to explain like Rish Lakish, because he'd rather explain that Mishnah like Rabbanan. That what? In Lokeo Mishalim. Therefore, he gave the case to him, but there was no Atra'ah. You only pay Mishalim. Because why? We want to explain according to the Shitav Rabbanan. Ela Rish Lakish, my Tamar Lomar Kirbi Hanan. Rish Lakish, why would you rather you wait to explain our Mishnah, Alibad Rabbi Meir, when you could have explained it simply according to the Rabbanan? So he says, Amalecha. So he says a big Hadush, not Rish Lakish. Kevan de Ilu Atrube. Patur. Kilo atrube name patur. New rule over here. Till now we always learned shitat rabbanan eno lokeo mishalim. That's a case of what? When you got a warning, so there's a mamon, there's a malkut, you don't get both. Eno lokeo mishalim. Good? That is what he says now. According to rabbanan, since there's a malkut in the isur here, eligibility to Malkut, even if you weren't warned for the Malkut, still you're going to be patur from the Mamun. So therefore, according to Rabbanan, it's a new understanding. When Rabbanan said, Eno Lokeo Mishalem, it's not only when there was Atra'ah, even if there was no Atra'ah, since it's an item that's subject to Malkut, you would not be Lokeo Mishalem. So therefore, Rish Lakish says, you cannot be Mokim the Mishnah like Rabbanan. Because you want to explain the Mishnah, what? The case of, you didn't have Atra'ah. So since there was no Atra'ah, you're Mishalem and you're not Lokeh. No, it's not so. According to Rabbanan, since bottom line, the case of Ones, when a guy goes with his sister, it's Shayach Malkut. You wouldn't pay even in such a case either. Not only wouldn't you pay when you get the Malkut, you wouldn't pay even when you don't get the Malkut. Why? Because it's subject to Malkut. So therefore the Shekish, how can I say it's going like Rabbanan? The law is not accurate according to Rabbanan. The Mishnah that said Mishalim is not accurate according to Rabbanan. Because since it's a Malkut case, it's eligible Malkut, Eno Mishalim. The Azul Tamayu. Which means, comes out now, we have a fantastic Mahloket, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and how to understand Shitat Rabbanan. Rish Lakish goes with the eligible rule. Very clear. When you go into eligible rule means any item that's eligible to Malkut, I don't care whether you got warned or not warned, you're patur from paying. Rabbi Yohanan doesn't go with the eligible rule. Rabbi Yohanan goes, Mitziut. Did you get warned? If you got warned and there is Malkut, you don't have to pay. But if you didn't get warned and there's no Malkut, you will have to pay. So we'll explain it simply. The Shakish goes with the eligible, and therefore there's no difference between warned and not. Rabbi Yohanan says, he goes with not eligible. It has to be Malkut. When there's Malkut, there's no Mishalem. When there's no Malkut, yeah, Mishalem. So the Gemara says, Ba'az do the Tamayu. Rabbi Yohanan and Shakish are going according to their reasonings. When the Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar, he said like this, Haibem mitot shogegin. Let's say a guy did Isur, that's Chayab Mitai, did it b'shogeg. Let's say it was Mechalel Shabbat b'shogeg. That's Haibem mitot, he did it shogeg. Haibem malkuyot shogegin. Or he did something that's Chayab Malkut, he did it b'shogeg. And at the same time, he was Chayav Mamon. So he has a Shogeg Chayuv Mita with Mamon, Shogeg Makut with Mamon. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, Rabbi Shakish Amar Patur. Then you see the Machloket. What's the logic? Rabbi Yochanan says Chayav because bottom line, you're not Chayav Mita. Whereas the Shakish says you're eligible Patur. Now the Gemara explains. The Yohanan Amar Hayav Tehalo Atube. Bottom line, he wasn't warned. He's a shogeg, and therefore you can't kill him. Therefore, he has to pay. The Shekish Amar Patur Kevan Deilu Atube Patur. Because if they would have warned him, he would have been Patur. Kilo Atube Nami Patur. Good. Baruch Alayna Olam. Amen. Amen.